Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
We just heard from Congresswoman Ayanna Pressley about her concerns about the federal Paycheck Protection Program. That PPP is a forgivable loan meant to help small businesses hurt by the pandemic. A second round of the program started Monday after the original $349 billion allocated for the program ran out in less than 2 weeks, leaving thousands without relief, including small businesses in Massachusetts. Joining me now is WBUR's Adrian Ma, part of WBUR's business team. Hi there, Adrian.
Hey, Tiziana.
Also with us is Nicola Williams. She's the owner of her own business, the Williams Agency. It's a local marketing and event planning agency, specializes in food and cultural events. Hello, Nicola.
Hello, Tiziana and Adrian. How are you?
Good,
well,
thank you.
And we want to hear from you on this. Are you a business owner and struggling to stay open, struggling to get relief? Call us. Or maybe you're concerned about a local business that you love. Shout them out or let us know what you're doing in your community to support valuable local businesses that you want to make sure make it through this pandemic. Call us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Or you can send us a tweet at Radio Boston. So, Nicola, I just want to start with you. I want to ask you to tell us a bit about your experiences in applying for this PPP loan.
Quite frustrating, Tiziana. I applied early, April 6th. Prior to that, I reached out to my bank about March 30th and said, let me know what's required so I'm ready to submit my application. And they sent the requirements, and the requirements changed. When it was released to the public, it evolved. It was just like a moving target. And so by Monday, I got my application in, got my payroll documents, all the requirements in. Like I said, it was a moving target, not on the bank side, but on the federal side, and submitted. And for the 10 days before the money ran out, I kept following up every couple of days. The response was my application was in underwriting. And when I found out that the money ran out, I called my bank and they said, unfortunately, you were not funded. It was just devastating.
Now, you got word from your bank that you may have been approved for this second round. Is that right?
I actually got word yesterday that I was approved, and I signed the contract the last hour, the promissory note.
Good.
So
good.
It is actually real, and I finally got funded.
Great. So, Adrian, let me turn to you. React to what we've just heard from Nicola, and tell us a little bit more about this PPP loan, who qualifies, et cetera.
Yeah, I mean, that Nicola's story sounds like a lot of what I've been hearing and reading in terms of business owners' experiences trying to get this money. The basic outline of this program is that it's supposed to be an incentive for business owners to keep workers on their payroll. But it's not just for, you know, businesses with employees. It's also supposed to be available for people who are independent contractors and sole proprietorships. But the basic idea is, like, keep paying your people and you can take out a loan for 8 weeks worth of expenses. And the catch is that the important part about this is that this loan will be forgiven if the person, the business borrowing, meets a few conditions. The biggest one is that 75% of the money borrowed has to go to payroll expenses. And for that money to be forgiven. And then the rest of the 25% can be used on stuff like rent, utilities, mortgage interest. I've been hearing that part of the difficulty in sussing out, like, whether this makes sense for a business is, like, something as simple as, like, what is payroll? If I need to spend most of the money on payroll, what counts as that? I'm sort of curious from Nicole's, you had mentioned that there was a moving target. Which part of that was, what requirement was, like, a moving target for you?
Were they changing the application? The clarification wasn't there for the banks, even the day before it was released. So it was very difficult and confusing for the banks. But in terms of that 75% of the loan that should be spent on payroll, 8 weeks after you get the funding. Now think about this. If a business owner is currently closed, like in Massachusetts, if you're a health club or if you're personal services and you are not required to be open because you're not essential and you got a PPP loan, how are you going to be able to bring back your employees when, one, they might be making more money, getting that extra $600 for over the next 8 weeks? Or two, do you want to pay them for not working? You actually need to pay them when the business is open. Fortunately for me, I'm not affected because of the type of my work. However, there are other companies, many companies, who actually can't get their loan forgiven because of that reason.
So, Nicola and Adrian, let's take a caller on this. 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. We've got a business owner named Tony on the line from Peabody. Tony, go ahead.
Hi, my name is Tony. I own Tony's Own Anisette Cookies in Peabody. And we applied for the loan on day one. We were told that we probably would not have a problem. They asked us for one payroll verification form, which we sent in. A week to 8 days later, we were told that the funding ran out, but that because our loan had already been processed, we were in queue and we had nothing to worry about because we had already been approved. 4 days later, we were told that somebody misspoke and that we were never approved or even looked at, and we might be considered with the second round, but that they weren't even put in my application up front where I had applied on day one. They were just literally picking and choosing. They were told by their Salem 5 team, apparently, to just pick and choose the applications to process and not to do them in order that they came. And I've already been paying my employees whether they work or not, because I have low-income employees who are still collecting government funding for food stamps and rent subsidies even while working. They just cannot survive without it.
Tony, I'm so sorry for your experience, and I'm really glad you called and told us about it. Adrian, there is this kind of bottleneck and getting the applications in that creates this situation where banks are just kind of picking who goes through, right?
Well, that is, I believe that, you know, when people say that is their experience, that could be happening. A lot of banks have said that they are not picking and choosing. They're just trying to process things as they come in, but there have been lots of reports.
So process them in sequence.
Yeah, I mean, there have been reports of, you know, where you see big businesses who are getting the loans and so many small businesses who are still waiting. And, you know, for the banks would say that part of the reason that is the case is that there are just fewer big businesses. And, you know, for some perspective, there's Small Business Administration has data for Massachusetts, which says 99% of businesses in Massachusetts are technically small businesses. But, you know, on the bank side of it, I did speak with the president of Eastern Bank, Quincy Miller, earlier this week, and was just asking him, like, you know, there are a lot of frustrations of people, you know, waiting to get through this program. What is going on your side? And he says, we've got people working around the clock. And in fact, this past week, they have been trying to get loan applications ready for this Monday when the second round has opened up. And he had a lot of people
trying to get
ready.
Do we have some sound from him, Adrian? Did you bring us some sound from him?
Yeah. Here's what he said about trying to get ready for this this past Monday.
So, you know, that group worked all night long. They've literally have not stopped. We had a group work till 4 a.m. and then the rest of the group came back on at 4 a.m. and continued the process. So we've done an amazing job getting these things through despite the challenges, but we're still throttled at only being able to get about 80 approvals an hour.
So yeah, that what he's talking sounds about like there a frustrating is that, process.
Yeah. You know, what he was talking about was that on Monday morning, they had apparently had about 2,000 applications ready to file, but they have to file it through the SBA's electronic filing system. And they say that every time they file, they get to filing about 80 applications, they would get shut out of the system and they'd have to wait until the next hour. And so it took a while for them to get through that backlog that they had.
So Nicola, as you hear Adrian lay that out, as a small business owner, what are you thinking?
I think that it's quite frustrating. I mean, my bank for the second round, they also worked through the night and then went home in the morning to take a shower, my banker said. Mm-hmm. So they had to work through the night. And I think for others, if the bank can't tell you that your application has been submitted, try another way. There's PayPal, that's not requiring you to have a relationship technically, or most people have one. These are considered fintech companies. But the government wasn't really ready for this. And I think there are a lot of flaws. I think the cap should have been $2 million. Especially public companies, shouldn't be getting $10 million. I feel that it shouldn't start, that the PPP sort of shouldn't start until 3 months after, then you can reopen, because not everybody can reopen. So there are a bunch of flaws in the program. And if you are a self-employed and consultant, you had 2 days to apply. You were at the back of the line. Why is that? You are the least person to be able to have access to the resources that and so you need it the most. Why did those businesses have to be at the back of the line? The system was unfair.
Let's take another call on this. We've got Karen on the line from Newton. Karen, go ahead. Oh, I think we may have lost Karen there. If we get her back, I'll bring her call up. In the meantime, I want to get another local business owner's voice in here. And we have Nakia Londi, the CEO of Intriguing Hair. That's a hair extension and wig business located in Hyde Park. Nakia, are you there?
I'm here.
So, Nakia, you had attempted to apply for a PPP loan. What was your experience like?
Well, my bank actually didn't offer it, and I went to two separate banks, and because I wasn't a customer of theirs, I was unable to apply. Then I was referred to a bank, and as I was getting the paperwork ready for them, the money had ran out. They had contacted me, though, afterwards, but at this point, I really have been so frustrated. It was like I didn't even want to deal with it anymore.
So you're not going to try again?
At this point, no.
So did you have some luck with, I think I heard, with another federal loan, the EDIL loan? I think that's federal money for disaster relief for small businesses. Is that right?
Yes. So I got approved through that loan.
So I'm pleased for you about that. Can you tell us about that process? Was it different? Was it easier or harder than applying?
It's pretty easy. It was a one-page form, and basically you get up to $10,000 advance. It depends on how many employees you have. And that was recently sent to me, and then I'm still waiting on the paperwork to get the actual approval for the loan, but I'm pretty confident that I'm going to get it.
And Nakia, how are you doing? How are you feeling about your ability to sort of ride this out and bring your business back online?
It's pretty difficult. Everyone in my business district, they're all suffering. I only know of one person that was able to qualify and got approved for the PPP loan. And that's another thing. It's like I hear so many horrible stories, and it's like, wow, I don't even want to apply because it's like maybe I'm taking money from them. So it's a very frustrating experience for small business owners. And a lot of them really have no in-depth insight.
That's Nakia Londi, the CEO of Intriguing Hair. Nakia, thanks for your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
So, Adrian, we've been talking about these hurdles and the challenges for people in getting support, but what will happen to the small business economy and the economy here in the Commonwealth if we don't figure this out and we don't get federal aid to businesses that need it, especially businesses owned by people of color who are disenfranchised from other traditional financial systems?
Well, I think overall, the picture for small businesses, I mean, I had mentioned before that stat about 99% of Massachusetts businesses are small businesses. Another interesting statistic that came from this report, so this is the small business report for Massachusetts for last year, and it also says about 46% of Massachusetts employees in the Massachusetts workforce, they work for small businesses. So just overall, we're talking about small business being a huge chunk of the economy already. But then as Congresswoman Presley has been talking about, there's also a lot of concern for people who advocate on behalf of business owners who are Black, Brown, Asian, Latinx, that they're already starting with structural disadvantages when it comes to getting these access to these loans. You know, there was a gentleman I spoke to named Shigun Itawu. He's a member of the Black Economic Council of Massachusetts. Actually, he's the executive director of that group. And he says, you know, part of the reason that there is a, you know, more difficulty for Black and Brown business owners is that there's sort of been a legacy of distrust among Black and Brown business owners to banks. Here's what he said about that.
At the end of the day, Black and Brown businesses, a lot of us don't have relationships with banks, either due to predatory lending and folks don't feel comfortable working with banks, or just the historical discrimination where banks don't give out loans to Black and Brown business owners.
So from the get-go, you know, PPP loans were, you know, businesses that had these pre-existing relationships with the banks that are issuing these loans were already at an advantage. And sorry, you were going to say?
No, go right ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, so, I mean, part of that is the reason that Itawu is joining up with other business advocates, and they're trying to get state lawmakers to come up with some funds and some programs that will help facilitate grants and loans for businesses owned by people of color. And he says there's a lot at stake here.
So we have Karen back, the caller who we tried to go to before, 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Karen, do we have you this time?
Yes, you do. And Nicola, hi, it's Karen from Johnny's in Newton Center. Great to hear your voice.
Thank you.
We got the PPP, which is great. The challenge I'm trying to get the answer to, and I've been on webinars and all kinds of things, is we got it last week. That means we have 8 weeks. By the end of that 8 weeks, do we just have to be at 75% of staffing or of payroll, and then we can continue to disperse it over the next few months, or do we have to have spent the whole loan?
Nicola or Adrian, do either of you know the answer to Karen's question?
I do. So,
great.
Karen, good to hear from you. 75% of the loan is targeted for your employees, and 25% for everything else, which specifically rent and utilities. And so you have to spend that money according to that percentage within the 8 weeks from the time you got funded. And so therefore, anything that's not spent by that based on those parameters won't be forgiven. So it could be a portion forgiven, but they give you 8 weeks to spend that money, 75% on payroll, 25% on things like rent, utilities, cable, et cetera.
Karen, does that answer your question?
It does, but is there any pushback? You mentioned it earlier in the program. Is there any pushback? Because as we keep getting the date pushed back, I mean, we're open for takeout and delivery, and that's fine, but we can only have so many people on. And as the date keeps getting pushed back, will the dates for the PPP disbursement recognize in the various places where the dates for reopening are getting pushed back? Do you think there'll be some
that's a great question.
Readjustment?
I'm part of
Nicola,
a coalition,
Adrian,
Karen, that's trying to change that. The Save Our Economy Now, that's one of the key issues that we're trying to change on a federal level, that because it doesn't make sense. It's not really reflecting the true business environment, especially in states that have a stay-at-home order or a recommendation and for some businesses. And most businesses really can't scale up to 100% capacity, especially if you're a retail business or restaurant, because of the restrictions that will take place in the future in terms of social distancing while you're operating, et cetera.
Adrian, I think you were going to jump in there.
I mean, it does seem that I think this is a great example of why this this program is actually a lot more complex than it sounds like on first pass, because the issue of like, okay, well, the clock starts ticking when you get your payment, your first payment on the loan. And so if you have to spend it in 8 weeks, you know, you also at some point, if you've already had to close or had to lay people off or reduce their wages, you have to sort of undo that. And like, how long is that going to take? You know, the SBA did issue guidance saying that if you have laid off employees, you have until, I think it was June 30th to bring them back. But also that requires some coordination then with like, you know, your bank. It's like, are you going to tell them, don't give me the money right now because I want to, you know, I haven't gotten everything together. It's, you know, it's a lot of moving parts there.
So I want to note, we've got a whole set of callers we're not going to be able to get to. I'm sorry, callers, those of you who we didn't get to today. We will try to do more of this in the future. In our last, you know, minute or so, Nicola, I wanted to come to you and ask you, right now, what is your biggest concern both for your business and for the small business community in Boston?
Well, for my business, I plan events that matter, large-scale outdoor events like the Boston Local Food Festival, the Boston Jerk Fest. Right now, we don't know how we're going to put together a festival of that scale that's with social distance. So we may be doing something like an online virtual festival for the Boston Jerk Fest or something like that. So we're trying to be creative. This is a good time to be creative, to pivot, to restructure, rethink how you do business. So that's what we're doing. For other Boston businesses, we've just got to continue to support them, share our knowledge, raise our voices, you know, support what Congresswoman Ayanna Pressley is doing and make sure we back her up as she represents us in Congress. We just have to be active and advocates for change that will help all of us, because we're all in this together.
And Adrian Ma, what else are you going to be following on this subject as a journalist over these next couple of weeks or a few weeks?
I think I'm going to be definitely interested in who's getting the loans. And I think it'll be interesting once data starts to come together. And also, you know, if we see a third round, kind of like what sort of provisions are put in place to help make sure that the money gets where it's supposed to go.
That's WBUR's Adrian Ma, a part of WBUR's business team. Adrian, I appreciate it. Thanks.
Thank you.
And Nicola Williams, the owner of her own business, the Williams Agency. It's a local marketing and event planning agency that specializes in food and cultural events. Nicola, best luck to you and your business. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.